we are at Enterprise Connect 2024, and I'm here with Eric Brochius from Sun River Health. Eric, how's it going?
Lovely. Wonderful conference this year.
It is, isn't it? And it's very, very busy. Although we're in a quieter section for the interview today, but lots of people just joined the expo floor, lots of technology on show down there. How are you finding it so far? I mean, are you hearing the word AI a lot? What's really piquing your interest the most?
Everybody's got some kind of AI solution that they're trying to sell, so there's a lot of traffic downstairs around that.
Yeah, absolutely there is. And Eric, I watched a session this morning, really interesting story. I wanted to dig into that a little bit if possible. First of all, tell us a little bit about Sun River Health and the type of business they are and what you do for them.
So Sun River Health is one of the nation's largest ambulatory FQHCs, so we're outpatient only, we're not a hospital. And we see roughly 250,000 unique patients annually, about 400,000 patients a year. So we really care about our patients. We primarily serve the underprivileged. I oversee all IT operations, infrastructure, networking, contact center, solutions, UCAS, help desk, everything under the sun, security is all within my purview.
That sounds like a lot of responsibility, especially with what's going on nowadays. But in terms of your procurement, and I know it spans back kind of, 5 years or so, just tell us about kind of, you know, the business case for change to start with and kind of what journey you started on.
So it started back in 2018, roughly, when we started a merger and acquisition activity with a smaller troubled health center. And it accumulated throughout 2019 when it was finalized, and we ended up with two completely disparate infrastructures, the legacy and then the acquired infrastructure. And that included two disparate contact center solutions and office solutions. So it was a lot of management on both sides for keeping track of all of our data, call flow, and patients being able to reach the contact center. And we struggled a lot in being able to really provide appropriate care to our patients as far as just making appointments. Then we struggled a little bit with the pandemic, which put a little pause on us researching solutions to really get on a unified communication platform for the entire organization and all of our call center agents. And we evaluated about 5 or 6 vendors, narrowed down on one, and really spent a lot of time, about 6 months, working through exactly what our implementation would look like. And not just, oh, this is the planning, it's how the call flow would actually work. So we put them through a lot of pain before we contracted so that we knew we were with the right vendor, one that was really going to make sure that it was a successful implementation.
What I found interesting about your session this morning was that your story around the kind of build up to the go live, you know, it seemed like some of the other people on the panel were really struggling with the implementation partners, and that was a real blocker for actually getting the systems installed and live up and running on time. But yours seemed a little bit different. Tell us about your implementation process and strategy to kind of getting it right.
So we really try to leverage the expertise at RingCentral, which was the vendor that we chose. And as I previously mentioned, we spent almost weekly meetings with them before we actually contracted to understand how every call would be handled, all the call flow before we contracted and before we went live. And we really pushed them as a subject matter expert in the field to help us do things right from the patient perspective. How can we potentially reduce some of the calls into the call center because we could filter out with some self-service? And that led to some really challenging internal conversations about all calls should go to a live agent versus, well, if we can reduce some calls, that would improve our efficiency in one first call resolution and actually a higher percentage of call answer rate and success from a agent perspective. And we ended up with only 4 options in our IVR, which we're really proud of. The first 3 are good filtering out points, and we really leverage a lot of the RingCentral experience and other implementations that they had done. So I think we learned from them and their expertise, but because they've done so many implementations before, they knew what had been successful, and that helped us, when we went live, have a really smooth transition from our on-prem and disparate VoIP systems into our new RingCentral platform.
And it all happened quite quickly, didn't it? From kind of signing the contract through to, you know, implementation and going live. You know, it's quite a quick process. Am I right?
Yeah, we contracted about end of February 2021, and we were live June 4th, 2021. So it was, you know, about 3 months. And we probably could have escalated a little bit, but we were taking our time. But we were really struggling from a data analytics perspective on our on-prem and disparate platforms, and we were really excited to get out into the cloud and on RingCentral.
And you're not an insignificant size business. How many agents, how many users have you got on the platform today?
So most of our patient calls come into about a 200 agent call center, and we've got about a million calls last year for 2023. And I'm sure lots of call centers that are a lot bigger, but that's a big number for us. The organization overall only has about 2,000 employees. So what's that? You know, less than 10% are all of our agents. So it's a lot for us.
There's still a lot of complexity in there for a lot of users, and I like the. It's always an opportunity to simplify things, isn't it, when you move to a new platform? And it sounds like you really cleaned things up and managed to kind of get what you wanted out of it. In terms of what you were looking to get out of it, what were those big benefits that you'd like to kind of share with our audience in terms of, you know, what where were you before versus where were you after? Because I know you had some challenges with some fairly serious components of the last platform, and where did you end up?
It's ironic because I just had this conversation downstairs on the exhibit floor. Couple huge pain points for us were data. We really try to make data-driven decisions, and our prior platforms didn't give us data. We had a solution that was quote unquote from the vendor. We're a hardware company, we're not a software company, and that really didn't work well for me when I'm trying to extract data from their software. And RingCentral out of the box has every data point that you could potentially imagine from a contact center perspective, and it really met all of our needs, and it really allowed us to make growths and efficiencies because we had data to make decisions. Separately, due to COVID, we had to suddenly send all of our agents to work from home, and during that process, that 2020 process of having agents answering calls from home on whatever platform we could get them to answer a call on was challenging. We had no data because it was call forwarding and all kinds of crazy solutions to get us there. Now we have agents that can basically work from anywhere and they can log in from home. They're happier, their quality of life is happier. They can put their kids on the bus in the morning and then log in and answer the calls and make appointments for our patients, which is really important.
Great. And there was one last thing that you mentioned this morning. Uptime was somewhat challenged on the last platform. How did that improve? I know you got quite an interesting stat.
Yeah, we would have the occasional outage, whether it was on the centralized SIP or decentralized SIP in one of the two platforms that we had. But we always struggled with outages here and there. Just in the Northeast in the United States, you have weather events, you have lines coming down. And with we were on average before the migration, we were about an 80% call answer rate. And now once we implemented RingCentral, the uptime is phenomenal. They guarantee us 99s. Over the last 3 years, we've had about 10 minutes of downtime. And we see a call answer rate now of 96%. So a 16% increase is tremendous for our ability to help our patients when they're calling for appointments.
Wow, and that is what it's all about, isn't it? Ultimately improving that customer experience, that user experience, agent experience. In terms of going forward, I know you've got all your data in the right place now. Does that open doors to using technologies like AI and various other new automation tools?
Yeah, I think we're really excited to try to leverage some of the other digital entry points in the contact center. Right now, we're just voice only, so calls only, but we're really excited to move into the chatbot functionality that RingCentral offers, again, to provide better access to our patients. So if they can answer their own question and get served quicker, perfectly happy to that. But if not, they can get transferred in the chat window to an agent and have a real-time interaction with a real person. It's just not over the phone. So whatever works for you, whether it's voice, text, chat, through a website, or RingCentral even has digital social media integrations that I'm a little scared about, but I think there's some tremendous advantages there. But just the ability to answer what's the fax number for this location will help a patient in the long run.
Yeah, Yep. Well, I'm going to let you get back to the expo to explore some of these technologies now, but you know, I wish you all the very best, you know, on your future journey with your UC and CEX technology. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate your time.